All right, this is February 2nd, and the topic this month is renewal.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such, such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make this essential truth of our being. That's what we're teaching. This thing called God, this thing called the universe is always pressing, always wanting to appear, always wanting to appear. And this thing that we call God appears through us. So the more you understand yourself, the more you realize that you're a creator, that you're a god or a goddess, the faster this will happen, that this thing called God, which is a vibration, it's an energy, will come through you. That's the only way that God does work on this plane of action, is through people. These are the hands of God you're looking at. These hands do things for God. God hath no hands. You see, God is only an energy, only a vibration. And we take that and do something with it. We bring God to life when we allow our thinking to renew itself. So think of those things. Now, the reason why I pick renewal is because this is the season of renewal. We're coming in to the Lenten season, and then we're going to have Easter. And Easter is all about renewal. And if you look around about this idea about renewal and all, we see it in this time of year, this season. We're soon going to be into spring, which is absolutely renewable. Now, Easter itself and what we do for Easter, you know, we have the Easter Bunny. Why do we have the Easter Bunny? We know perfectly well the Easter Bunny doesn't lay eggs. But the Easter Bunny is a symbol of prosperity and abundance, because rabbits multiply. They just keep multiplying. So they use that. And of course, we always use the egg at this time of year for several different reasons. One, it's the idea of Christ in the tomb. And we can break Christ out of the tomb. We can break the Christ self that we have. We can break it out of the tomb that we have put it in inside of ourselves. So we use the egg for that. But the main reason that we use the egg is because of the 21-day gestation period. In this teaching, and many teachings like this, they will teach you, and if you go to not motivational people, you can go to motivational people. That's wonderful to do that. Anyway, I can't think of who. But they use it 21 days. If you want to change your habits, if you want to change anything, it takes 21 days to do it. So that is the symbol of the egg. So give yourself 21 days to do things. Last week, we had, I think it was last week, we had August here, who thought he was in some kind of a minor car thing, and he thought he would have an epiphany. Everyone is looking for an epiphany. Very difficult to find one. And when you do, everyone thinks it's going to be great big and change you completely. No, it's going to change you, but not completely, you see. So don't think about those things. And, of course, we also use the example of Saul. Do you remember who Saul was? He was on the road to Damascus. And he had an epiphany. And then what did he become?
Well, he converted.
Now, what did Saul become?
Paul.
Paul. Saul.
Saul became
King Paul. On the road to Damascus, he had an epiphany. And when he was finished with that epiphany, his name was changed to Paul.
What was the epiphany?
I don't know. That he was going, well, that he was with had the Christ consciousness, and he really wanted to promote Christianity, which he up and did, you know, because the whole Christian thought is all Paul. It should never be called Christianity. It should be called Paulism.
Paulism. Oh, I have a good name now.
Yeah. It should be called Paulism, because he came up with all the different things. If you read the Bible and all, you know, the Paul's letters to this, that, and to the Romans, to the, these people, and to that person. So that was a complete renewal for Paul, because he started out as Saul and became Paul. Now, in many religions, you take on a different name when you go through your initiation or whatever. They pick out a different name for you, or they see a character in you or something, and they spiritually you change your name. We do not have to do that. I mean, you may, if it helps you, certainly change your name. I happen to like my name, and I have no intentions of changing it. So, but some people do. Some people don't like their name. Some people don't like it. So you can renew yourself by changing your name. And that's what happened to Paul. He was completely renewed in this whole thing. Now, what we want to do during this season, we want to renew our thinking. You were always made new by the renewal of your thinking, by the renewal of your mind. So all the thoughts that you've had up till now about anything, let's, during this season, go back and analyze that and see, is it right? Is it wrong? Do I need it? Don't I need it? And how can I change and become the person I want to become? Because many people are stuck with the idea of, this is just who I am. And they're not going to change that. Then we also have the people who say, you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. And we are discovering more and more that that is absolutely an out-and-out lie. You can change at any time, that this wonderful thing that we call our mind or our brain has plasticity to it. It can change. We have to learn how to change that. So if you want to do the 21-day technique, every time you think a thought that you don't want, tell yourself that a new synapse is opening in your brain, so that now you will have a new route for your thought to go down. You see, thoughts always take the route of least resistance. And that's why you get used to it, and that's why you keep thinking the same thought over and over, because it becomes pleasant to you and you become familiar with it. And it knows exactly where to go with the synapses, how to do that to you. Now we want to change those little synapses. So visualize synapses in you, and that synapse, when it fires, it depends what kind of a protein is around it. So it's how you tell yourself you're changing the proteins in your thinking. You're changing the proteins in your mind, so that now, when it's your synapse fire, you come up with a different idea. Not the same thing. Not the same thing. You see? Who said once that conformity is the hobgoblin of small mind? See, we want to think different thoughts. We want to think new thoughts. We've been thinking these thoughts that we have in our head now since when? Well, I knew some of mine date back to, you know, when I was a child. You know, and I'm saying a child 5, 6 years old. I don't need those thoughts anymore. I can learn to change my thinking about that. I have changed my thinking about so many things. And it's wonderful to be able to do that. It's absolutely wonderful to be able to change your mind about something. Because nothing is written in concrete. And they're proving, scientists are proving constantly, how pliable and malleable our brain is. That our thinking, we can think different thoughts. So we want to renew our thinking. Let's see. What are some of the things that we could renew, you know? You have to think, what thought am I thinking that makes absolute sense, but I don't need it anymore, you know? Always comes into my mind is all the things we learn as children. Irish people are drunks. You see, we can learn to say something nicer about them, can't we? And it's absolutely true that all Irish people are drunks. I don't think so. Or Italians are greasy. Did you ever hear that? Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't learn those things.
Thank God. Louder. Yes, worry thoughts and fear thoughts. You have to release them. You have to get rid of them. Fear is an emotion that you're creating. There's no such thing, you know, as fear. People think it's the opposite of love. There's no opposite to love.
Yeah, I'm reading the Four Agreements.
Oh, yes.
Don Louis. Mm-hmm. Miguel, whatever. And he's saying exactly the same things.
Absolutely, he says exact same things.
The agreements, some of them are so basic and simple, we mm-hmm. don't even think about it. Be true to your word is the first one.
Well, I was raised with that. You have to be a man of your word. If you say you're going to be there or do this and everything, you have to live up to your word. Which makes absolute sense, doesn't it? Why wouldn't we? What kind of people would we be if we didn't live up to what we're saying? Now, I know that there are people out there that do that, but I don't have them in my life. I always fall for the thing when somebody says, well, don't you know that that person lies? I said, no, I have no idea. Because it doesn't dawn on me somebody would lie. Why would you lie about something? See, so we can change, you know, our fear thoughts, our worry thoughts, and we need to be able to do that, and we can do that. So make up your mind when a fear thought comes in. Look at it, and what do you say in those in that instant? You say to yourself, "Is this true? Is it false? Or I don't know." And I'll tell you, 100% of the time it's going to be, I don't know. Because the mind has to come to a conclusion. So it just fills in anything. So that it's done. So it's always, is it true, is it false, or I don't know. And it's always going to be, I don't know. And then you let that go and see what manifests in front of you. You see, if you come to a conclusion, there's no manifestation going to come. None. It's over. Anytime you come to a conclusion, you apply the brakes. And it screeches to a halt. Your thinking and everything screeches to a halt. Because I conclude this. Now, where are you going to go past that? You can't think past the conclusion because you made the conclusion. And you hear that all the time. People think, oh, they're so smart because they thought the whole thing out and they thought the whole thing through and they came to a conclusion. But the conclusion, I'm telling you also, is 100% wrong most of the time too. But the mind loves to do that to you and it loves to come to a conclusion. So in your own mind, don't come to a conclusion. When I say that, we say that we say about people, that person's poor, that person's rich. You see. Now, you may say that person's rich. That's fine. But you cannot lay that person's poor on somebody. When you hold that in your mind, in your consciousness, that person remains in that condition. The only way to get somebody out of the condition that they're in is to think differently, to renew your thinking, and to teach those people to renew their thinking so they're not thinking derogatory things about themselves, you see? And here again, we can never think a derogatory thought about ourselves. When we think a thought about ourselves, a derogatory thought about ourselves, what are we doing?
Thinking a bad thought about God?
Yes, absolutely. We're saying, look, God, you didn't do this right. Yeah. You're saying, God, you didn't do this right. So don't do derogatory thinking about yourself. And that's where we all fall into trouble. I fall into trouble all the time. But I catch myself and I back myself up and I forgive myself immediately for doing that. And I put myself back into a God space. So most people think, well, once I fell out of the God space, I have to stay out. You do not have to do that. Here again, this thing called God is absolutely forgiving and absolutely lovable. All this thing that God wants to do is love. Love, 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 love. And the older I get, the more I realize that. And the other thing I realize about this thing that we throw around called love, it is the only power that there is. And it will dissolve anything. Love will dissolve fear and worry. Love will dissolve fear and worry. I used to hand out cards, and I'll make them for you one more time and bring them in, and it went this way. Fear knocked at the door. Love answered. No one was there. Fear knocked at the door. Love answered. No one was there. It does. It just dissolves things. It's absolutely, it sounds so simplistic and it sounds so Pollyannish and all that kind of stuff. But it absolutely works. But it's so damn simple. Excuse me. It's so damn simple that we think, it has to be difficult. Otherwise, it's not going to work. If we don't get, if it isn't difficult, that's what they do. People do that with God all the time. You have to be so, you don't have to be difficult with God. You don't have to be difficult with anything. And nothing should be difficult in your life because you are connected to this thing called God. So during this month, renew your thinking about all these things. We are presented constantly on this plane of action with these wonderful times when consciousness comes together. And when I say consciousness coming together, I mean people start to think differently. And during this season of renewal, during this season of Lent and Easter, people start to think differently. They cannot sustain it. That's the problem. They just do it for the 40 days, and then that's it. Do it for the rest of the year. Do it for the rest of your life, you see. And this is a time to be able to do that. You'll see the energy starting to come in to our atmosphere, into our environment, because of this thing called Lent, this thing called Easter, and the whole idea that you can renew yourself, that you can renew yourself. when I was a child and went to Easter services, we always had to have a new outfit. You had to have a new outfit. That was part of being new. That was part of renewing and so forth, you see. I don't think people do that anymore as much. Maybe they do. But what I'm always trying to explain to you is we have so many helps out there. And this universe, this thing called God, is always handing us something. Yes, some man made up Easter. Some man made up all this. But it works. I don't care who made it up. You see, if it works, it works. So let it work for you, you see, instead of against you. You know. Oh, I don't believe, you know, that Jesus arose from the dead. You know, people say that. Mm-hmm. I'll say that also. Very difficult to believe that, you know. And I told you when I was in Israel, I went to the tomb where apparently or supposedly Jesus was buried and the stone was rolled away. Mm-hmm. I felt absolutely nothing. I felt absolutely nothing. In St. Peter's, I felt wonderful.
Because it's so beautiful.
Oh, my God. Gosh, the beauty. And see, God is beauty, you know. God is beauty. And when you see that, oh, it just, here again, I don't care what.
You can't describe it.
You cannot describe it, absolutely. So, this is the season of renewal. So use it the same way all these holidays that we have, look at them correctly and start to use them instead of, oh, well, I have to buy a chocolate rabbit or something. You don't. You have to know that this is a season of renewal and that you can renew yourself. You can do anything you want now, and you're going to get more help from it because the atmosphere changes. And when the atmosphere changes, you can take advantage of that. You see? So learn to do that for yourself and learn to see. I think what happened to most of us is, you know, we left the farm. We left nature. We're no longer a gregarian society. We've moved into technology, we've moved on to that, which is all well and good, but they're very hard, cold things. They don't give you what nature can give you. They don't give you that. So when you look out there, and this is going to be, I'm sure, a wonderful spring because things are budding out everywhere where I look. Things are now budding out. You see? So you have to look at yourself and say, what's inside of me ready to bud? What's inside of me ready to bud? What's inside of me ready to bloom? Something maybe that you thought of years ago and it hasn't come into your life yet. Start it for this time. Use it this time of the season. Use all these things to help you understand, to help you love yourself more and more and more. And see what a beautiful world we live in. So many people have no idea. They have no idea where anything comes from. You know, children think that milk comes from the refrigerator. They have no idea that there's a cow somewhere producing that milk. Not that I would drink milk. I don't drink milk for many different reasons. But you have to get closer to nature. You have to get closer to this whole thing and start to feel it. When you start to feel it and you start to see all this stuff, you have to come to an idea that there must be a God somewhere. Something must be doing this. You see? Something must be doing it. Can you remember that old poetry where it said, Only God can create a tree. Well, when you look at all that stuff, you couldn't think of this. Human beings could not think of all the things, all the wonderful, marvelous things on this planet. Plus, the wonder and mystery and marvels that are inside of us. You know, science has no idea what's going on there. No idea what's going on. So use that. Use all these mysteries. I love them. You know, it doesn't bother me in the least that I don't understand anything. Why do you have to understand it if you can use it? See, people want to understand God. You don't have to understand God. All you have to do is use God. The same. God wants to be used.
So many people still believe that God is judging and punishing. I just heard on the TV yesterday one of those ministers was talking about only God judges, and you know, people really believe that, you know,
yes,
judgment day is on its way.
Fire and brimstone, and they absolutely believe that. And you hear that, I hear that in the class sometimes, people say things. You don't realize how conditioned you are to all that stuff. The worst ones to listen to and God, politicians. They have no idea what God is, but they'll tell you, you know, God's out to get you, and this, that, and the other thing, or thank God for this, that. Bunch of baloney. You have to get it through your head that this thing called God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. God does not judge. The same way God does not forgive. Everyone wants God to forgive. God does not forgive. Why does God not forgive? Because God has never condemned you. God is not in the condemning business. God is in the loving business. Love, 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 love. That is why in this teaching everyone wants, of course, cars and money and houses and clothes and lovers and all that kind of stuff. I always remind myself, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. The kingdom of heaven is peace. Peace of mind. When you have a peaceful mind, you can manifest things. When you have a chaotic mind, you cannot manifest anything. Well, you can. And what you manifest, of course, is more chaos in your life. That's all you manifest with that. So we want to, in this season, look at what we're doing to our own selves and renew ourselves. We have been in this teaching and we've been around so long that there shouldn't be a question like, God will punish you. Do you remember in the 70s, I think it was? I watched a show maybe once or twice and I thought, I'm not going to watch that. Remember Maude?
Yeah.
She always said, God will get you. God will get you for that.
That's right.
And people believe that. That God is going to get you. God is not out to get you. God is out to love you. God is out to work through you. God wants to give you everything. That's what this thing, this power, whatever you want to call it, that is what's going on. There is none of the rest of it. But they put all those people on that television, I could just... And they tell these people, and they fill the house, don't they? Because people love to be told that they're not perfect. There's another commercial that I can't stand, and again, it's from an insurance company. And the little girl says, what's wrong with them? Don't they realize that no one is perfect? Don't they realize... You have to realize that you are perfect. You see, that's an excuse that we use constantly in this world. We say, well, I'm not perfect. or I'm just human. I'm, you know, these are excuses for not getting what you want, for not being what you want. You are whole and complete and perfect right here and right now. There is nothing to be added to you. There are things to be subtracted from you. And what do we want to subtract from ours? The worry, the fear. We want to subtract anything that says God is out to get you. You see, God is for you. The universe is for you. And you live in a friendly universe. A user-friendly universe. So learn to use the universe. Learn to use this thing that we call God. In religious science, we are always talking about the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect. What you put out, you're going to bring back to yourself. It's as easy and simple as that. So when you watch your thinking, when you renew your thinking, things will change in your life. So don't hold on to all those things. I used to think it was absolutely wonderful to be stubborn and to remember all that stuff and all that. I'm not impressed with that anymore. I do not care. You see, all I care about is having a peaceful mind, having a loving mind, and going on from there. I change anything that's going on in my mind that I don't like. I change it to what I want it to be. I change it to what I want it to be. So you can do that, and you renew yourself while you're doing that. Change it in your thinking. And that's all those memories from childhood and all that stuff, you know, you could do wonders with. Years ago, I felt that my parents did not like me. I had that. And I found, when I was 10, 12 years old, I found baby books. And it said, Dallas's baby book. I opened it up and there was nothing in it. No writing, no nothing. And I thought, well, there, that's proof. That's absolutely proof that they don't like me. Now, I kept that for a long time, that thought. But I was able to change that thought by realizing my mother was too busy to sit down and write down all this stuff. And she, you know, she did it for Jack, my brother, because he was the first, you know. Now she's, oh, I'm not going to do that again. One child's journals. Enough for me. I changed my mind. And I got into maybe her mind. And I was able to forgive that whole thing and forgive myself for even thinking that. But this is the way the mind works. Your mind works this way, you know. Runs around looking for proof. And if you run around looking for proof, you're going to find it, people. So don't find that, you know. I am not one bit upset, angry, or anything with my mother or my father. Not one bit upset. They did the very best they knew how to do, and all the rest, you know, there's another thing I saw about all these little school kids that want to go back to school. I'll skip recess, I'll do this, whatever they're saying. I thought, what kind of a commercial is that? Finally, it said they want to go back to school because they get fed in school. And when they're off in the summertime, there's not enough food in the house for them. What? So these kids want to get back to school. So now I say to myself, not only is that horrible, what can I do about it? But I say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Mother and Dad. I never went hungry. I never went hungry. You know, we have to appreciate those things and do that. And that renews you when you think a new thought like that. And give these parents, now I say to myself also, now my parents have been gone for quite a while now, but I'm still cleaning house, I'm still clearing out, I'm still doing things, but in a completely new way, in a renewal thinking that they did the very best, that I never went hungry, that I had this, and this, you see? Of course, I could be angry that they didn't leave me an inheritance. But why do I want to do that to myself or to them? You see, they lived their life, and they lived it the way they thought it was supposed to be. That was their life, not mine. Now I have my life. What am I going to do with my life? You see, I'm no longer going to use excuses like you didn't fill in my baby book. You see, that's an excuse. You can't do that to yourself. So you renew your thinking. And you say to yourself, I had a wonderful childhood. I had a wonderful childhood. And then I go on from there. So during this season of renewal, do this for yourself. Let all those old things go. Why do you want to carry them anymore? You know, this is my birthday month, people. I'm going to be 72. Now, do I want to carry an old man? Do I want to carry these thoughts with me any longer? Absolutely not. I want new thoughts. I want better thoughts. I want to be able to renew my thinking. And we can do that. And this is a perfect season to be able to do that. So when you go out there and you look around or take a walk or something, look what's budding in the world. And say, ah, there's something budding inside of me. There's something inside of me growing. And it's going to bloom and blossom. It's going to bloom and blossom. Use all these clues from nature itself, you see. Now, I know that you people realize that nature is God, you see, and that's God coming into this world when the bloom goes. You see, isn't that wonderful? I was up in my garden, and I brought them in the most beautiful yellow roses. Two. There were only two. I took them both. They're absolutely gorgeous. Now, when I walk by them, I say, out loud because I live by myself, I say, thank you so much for presenting yourself to me. Thank you so much for presenting yourself to me. Now, isn't that a wonderful way to look at it? You know, this is a gift, an absolute gift, and this is God presenting itself to me, you see? This is how you renew your thinking. This is how you make yourself feel good. You have to make yourself feel good, you know. No one else is going to do that for you. It would have been nice years ago. I wanted somebody to make me feel good. I wanted, you know, somebody to make me happy and all. Then I finally woke up and said, no one's going to do that, Dallas, and no one wants to do that. So get over yourself and do it for yourself. Now I do everything for myself. You know, I don't need somebody to say nice things to me. I can say nice things to myself. I can forgive myself. I can do it all. I can do it all. And it's wonderful, you see. So when you see all that stuff out there, know that you're part of it. This is the next thing, people, that you're a part of them. And I keep, you know, always a flower by my bed. So it's only a bud, you know, or a one thing. So that before I go to sleep, I see something beautiful. And the first thing I see in the morning when I wake up is that at the present moment, it's a beautiful yellow rose. The one that I brought in only had a bud about that big, and I was a little tempted. I thought maybe one. It has opened to this size. Mm-hmm. It has opened up. And I'd rather do that than look at TV or something, you see. I'd better watch that flower and know that that is God. And that's the presence. And that's why, you see. So you're always going to be in the presence of God, people. Especially if you're out in nature, you see. It's everywhere. So you can use all these clues from the universe, all these clues from nature, to help you. What do you think they're out there for? They're out there to help you to see something. I told you this story before. When I was a minister, I always wore a boutonniere. And people would say to me, why do you wear that boutonniere? And I said, to remind myself that a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. A world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. So many people think that we're living in a hostile environment. Well, we're certainly not living in a hostile environment in Southern California, I can assure you. Everywhere you look, there's beauty, isn't there? There's just absolutely beauty everywhere. I was at Gelson's earlier today, and I turned around to get into my car, and I looked out over everything. And I swear there were at least 200, if not 300 palm trees out there. I mean, it's absolutely abundant. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. But you've got to see it. And you've got to believe it. You've got to become part of everything. You have to become part of this whole thing. And you can do that. It's not that difficult to do. Somebody asked me earlier, I think it was today, somebody, how do you forgive or something? You sit down and forgive. You just sit down and say, I'm forgiving myself for this. You see? I do that all the time, you know, in the car. I'm always forgiving in the car because I say, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do as they try to cut you off and all that kind of hoorah that they do out there. Look around you. See what's out there. And see that this thing, God, is always bringing you something. Something wonderful. Something grand. That's what this whole thing is about. You know, we got cut off from this thing somewhere along the line. I don't know if it's when we left the farm. I have no idea. Or because we became so smart, you see. We became so smart we think we can outthink God, or we think we can outthink the universe. The impossibility, people. I never even try that when I say, you do it. You know, let God do what God does. Let the universe do what it does. And forget all the other stuff that's going on. All the stuff that's in the world. Somebody asked me, do I watch the news? No, I don't watch the news. But every night I pray for peace. And every night I pray for understanding among all people. Among all people, you see. And we have to do that because that all those people are God. You see? We can't separate this stuff. People think, oh, we can get away with doing it. You can't get away with a thing, people. And that has nothing to do with St. Peter up there writing everything in a book. St. Peter is not writing a thing, I can assure you. St. Peter may not have been able to write, you know, most of those people in the biblical, in the Bible, the biblical people, they could not write. They had no idea how to write. They had scribes that could write, but they never learned to write. They were too advanced, you know, they were rich, they were this. Well, a rich person's not going to pick up a stylist and do anything. Absolutely not. So don't let yourself fall for all that stuff. And I hate always to get into the Bible because it's so I'm going to use the word convoluted. It takes forever to figure out what the hell they're doing, you know. So, you don't need the Bible. You don't need that Bible. What does anyone know what Bible means? Book. Just Bible is book. Remember Spanish? Biblioteca?
Yes.
The library. Well, Bible is book.
The in front of it.
Pardon?
The word the in front of it makes it seem like it's bigger than that.
The book. Well, it is a book. And that's all it is. And it has wonderful things to say if you can go through it. The only way you can read the Bible is metaphysically, people. It's all psychological. It's all metaphysical. It's all telling you what, you know, if a whale swallows you, how to scratch its tonsils so it'll spit you back out. No, there are wonderful stories, and they all apply to human beings. I had somebody once told me, if you want to read the Bible, you have to pick it up and say, this is the story of my life. This is the story of my life. It's not all those begottens. It's the story of your life. And if you pick it up and read it that way, it reads very well, you see. And it shows you that those people, Job and all the people in the Bible, had problems. But what happened with those problems? They overcame those problems. And how did they overcome those problems? By renewal of their thinking, by renewing their mind so that they were thinking differently. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to think differently, where we don't get caught up in the world and all the stuff that's going on out there. You see? And I've used this before, and I use it all the time, and I will tell you this. Do I get upset about all those things? I'm concerned sometimes about those things. But I say to myself, this does not happen in my universe. This does not happen in my universe. I am creating my universe. And this is the way my universe runs. So I don't go through all that stuff. I do not go through this that somebody's out to get me, you see. I do not have any fear of any of that stuff because it doesn't happen in my universe. It happens out there, but I'm not out there, you see. I'm not out there, so why would I even bother to think about those things, you see? I don't understand any of it. Remember, I did stand on my street because they said a car is stolen every 36 seconds. I stood there for over an hour and no cars were stolen on my street. So where did they come up with that one, I'd like to know. May happen somewhere, but not in my universe. In my universe, I use my mind and I renew my thinking. Moment by moment. I renew my thinking moment by moment. You know? What is it in Alcoholics Anonymous? Don't they say one day at a time? I am to the point where it's one thought at a time. I have one thought and I work with that one. One thought and I move to the next. I don't do a whole day. That would absolutely be too overwhelming for me. Too overwhelming. So change and renew yourself one thought at a time. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.